My name is Rudy Edmund, and the title of this program is Moving Ice Forms Beautiful Scenery. And the map before you on the screen at this point shows that North America and Europe during the past 2 million years have been covered by ice to a great extent. And that ice has moved south in both areas and melted out down in the United States and in Europe. And in both areas, that moving ice has been very influential in sculpturing the landscape as we know it today. Since it happened very recently, the features are still very fresh, and it's that we wish to highlight in this series of slides that I'll be presenting in the next few minutes. This shows the portion of the United States that was covered, mainly coming from the ice up in Canada, and notice that there were glaciers in the mountain ranges, particularly in the western part of the United States. If we look at the central part of the United States, this is a geologic map showing the distribution of glacial deposits around the edges of the Great Lakes. And you'll note that the ice moved right down across the whole area and covered the Great Lakes area as it was in its maximum extent. And this series of maps shows how the ice moved down, particularly in the one on the left, labeled A, Lake Michigan and Lake Superior, and then on across, and then looking further at the next slide, B, and then C and D, you see that the ice gradually melted back from its maximum advance and left then the lake basins scooped out by the action of the ice and filled with water at the time when the glaciers melted out. This diagram shows basically what happens. In order for snow and ice to accumulate in an amount that's greater than what melts, this allows pressure to build up. And the ice moves actually by gravity. So note the arrows on the left-hand side of the slide show that the net accumulation exceeds the wastage. And on the right-hand part of the side, you notice the arrows point upward, meaning that there is more melting than ice accumulating. So the net effect is that the ice flows down the slope from the upper part to the lower part and then melts out. Notice at the very extreme left, there is a big crack between the mountain and the ice, and that's called the bergschrund. And this is a place where the ice is moving away from the rock, freezing onto it, carrying it down, and finally carrying it down the valley. This line shows the net effect of the ice movement. Notice that it flows faster at the top than at the bottom, and that it's brittle at the top. And so this makes it flow gradually down, and finally it melts out at the lower end of the slope, where the ice finally is turned to water. Now, in the upper part of the glacial area where the ice is accumulating, first we have snow, and the snow becomes compacted and granular. And then it's under enough pressure that it recrystallizes into solid ice, and the air is excluded from it. Here you see hail, which is another form of solid water freezing to hailstones here. And the process in glaciation is somewhat different because the pressure of the overlying weight, it takes at least 300 feet of accumulated ice to cause enough pressure for the ice to flow in the solid state, but that it does. And when it does, it freezes onto rock and then carves various features that we're familiar with in relationship to moving ice. This is an illustration of ice moving down from an accumulation up in the high level and flowing as a solid down to the lower extremity. On the lower part, you see really just a landslide, and that's simply a gravity rock slide, and there's no flowage of material here. It simply is a sliding effect down the mountainside. This diagram illustrates the kind of features that result when the ice fills into stream valleys and then moves down to carve out the valleys. Note the bottom part of the illustration shows how the hanging canyons and valleys form, and the rounded U-shaped valleys are a part of the ice moving down and removing the rock. High in the mountains, such as in this case Mount McKinley up in Canada, where the mountain stands very high, where snow and ice accumulate and do not melt out, and there are many glaciers, you see, formed in an area of this kind. And that's a product of more ice and snow accumulating than can melt out during the course of the summer. And the farther north we go, the more likely the snow and ice is to remain from one year to the next. If we go down to New Zealand, in this case, we see the upper accumulation of snow and ice in the Southern Alps of the South Island of New Zealand. Note on the left-hand side of the slide, you see the ice moving down in a tongue in a valley glacier coming from a high area where the snow and ice is accumulating and producing the pressure that causes the flowage down the canyon. In Switzerland, in this case, we see the upper end of a glacier in the Swiss Alps, and from a ski area here, you get a good view of this, and now looking at it from another angle, we can see the glacier moving down from right to left and carrying a large amount of rock on the surface. And you can see how that rock coming off of the wall is simply carried piggyback down the valley by the glacier, and it's sharpening up the walls of the canyon as it moves. This is a good example of the flowage of the ice from the Mount McKinley area. And notice if you follow any one of these dark ridges up to its source, you'll see that it comes at a point where a tributary glacier has joined the main glacier. And so each one of these streaks tell the story that there is a tributary that has joined as you count the different ones across the glacial ice itself. And now to show you what one of those dark streaks look like, this is it. You can see the rock that's carried piggyback here by the ice where the two masses come together. On the right-hand side and on the left-hand side, one would be a tributary to the other, and the two have come together and they're carrying this material along. As you look up in the direction here in Canada of the high area clear up into the mountains, you can see where the snow and ice has accumulated. And moving the ice down the valley, in this particular valley glacier. Here we're looking at a glacier in Alaska where we're looking down the flow of the glacier, and you can see again these black streaks where tributary glaciers have formed and are joining the main mass, which is the central part of the slide. And the sort of ripple effect of the movement of the ice as it moves down the valley here under pressure. Note that the ice is brittle at the top, and it's plastic and under pressure at the bottom. At the top, therefore, it breaks open. And when it breaks open, it forms what we call crevasses. And these can be quite deep and go down into the glacier. And during the winter, the snow drifts over them. So when one crosses a glacier, you have to be very careful that you do not slide into one of these crevasses, which again you see in this particular slide. And that's an important thing in mountaineering, where you are on and crossing glaciers. This is the Fox Glacier in New Zealand, and again, look at the very rough surface that you see here, because the ice moving down is plastic underneath, and the surface remains very brittle and very rugged. And so it's a difficult kind of field to cross. Here is a wonderful example of a tributary glacier joining a main glacier, a much larger glacier. This is very much the situation that would have happened here in the Railroad Creek Valley. If you look at the tributary in the central part of the slide, this would be very much like Railroad Creek Valley Glacier joining the Chelan Valley Glacier, and the two of them then moving southward in the direction of Chelan and forming Lake Chelan. In this particular slide, you see that the ice is capable of flowing around a bend. And this is the kind of bend that you would see if you hiked up the trail from Holden Village to above Heart Lake. Right at where Heart Lake is, there is a sharp a bend, very similar to this kind of a bend in the mountains, and there is a lake that has formed at the bend where the ice has gouged out the rock and left a pocket where water has accumulated. This illustrates the kinds of crevasses and breaks you get in the upper part of the ice. We're moving out again in a area in Alaska where there's a basin of snow and ice, and it's moving down to the left here. And you can see the effect of the cracks as it does move. Now when you look at the wall of the ice and really see what the ice looks like inside, you can see that it has flow lines in it. This is again proof of the nature of the flowage of the ice itself. You know, it's in a solid state and picks up rocks, but it has the capacity to flow under high pressure, because the ice in many cases here in Railroad Creek Valley has been more than 3,000 feet thick. And at the bottom it would have been formed into this kind of a flow pattern if we could see it today. Over in Switzerland, this is an ice palace, a place where the glacier is not moving so rapidly, but what they simply thawed out a part of the glacier and made a room. And so you have a palace here, and they put in electric lights and everything else, and so it's a wonderful tourist attraction, and the entire structure is made of ice. Now, let's go up into Canada and look at the Athabasca Glacier, which is in front of us here in the slide. Note that the glacier is receding. It's moving back, melting back. And to the left of the ice, you see a ridge of loose rock. And that rock represents the stage when the ice was more extensive and the ice was right up against that ridge. Now it's shrinking back away from it and leaving what we call a moraine along the side of the valley, a ridge of glacial loose material. And here again, backing off a little further, we can see this same ridge around on the left-hand side of the Athabasca Glacier, and the person in the picture is standing on that deposit as it came around the end of the glacier when it was more extensive. Now here, this is the same glacier. We're on top of the ice mass now, and note it's somewhat irregular. And because the snow is melting, depending on the amount of dust and so on that's in it, it develops irregularities and streams. And so there'll be ice melting here, forming meltwater that's carried into streams along the top of the glacier, and that finds its way into the glacier in various places where there are crevasses or openings. And here you can see the water going down into the glacier itself, and then it may flow along at a much deeper level, maybe even at the bottom of the glacier in certain instances. Here is the lower end of Athabasca Glacier, and you can see some of the blue ice at the very end as it's coming to the point where it's finally stopping and melting out. Note the water that's being carried from the glacier here. The melt water is milky. It's just full of sediment. And that's because the rock being carried in the ice is moving against the floor of the valley and producing rock flour. Look at one of the rocks that was carried in the ice. See how it's scratched. And wherever those scratches are, that means that a certain amount of powdered rock flour was produced, and that's what produces the color in the water that's coming from the ice. Here's the bedrock. And you can see the bedrock is scratched in a similar way. And that produces again more rock flour to be carried out into the valley. And here in the Teton Range, for example, where the rock is very hard, you can see that the rock surface is scratched and polished. And I pulled out one little piece here of the bedrock so you can see what the effect of the ice has had in simply polishing this off, producing again a flour of material that goes out into the valley below. In the Sierra Nevada, for example, this is a place where the rock has been polished by the ice moving across it and carrying rock debris, grinding it against the rock floor. Here in Minnesota, up near Virginia, Minnesota, you can see the effect of the ice that moved across from Minnesota and Canada down into Iowa, and it simply polished the bedrock where it moved across, and in many places you can see this today where it's exposed. Now, going back into the mountains to show what this water looks like when it carries the rock flour, on the left is a little stream that's carrying the rock flour from the glacier. On the right is a perfectly clear, transparent stream that's produced simply by melting snow. And there is no rock flower being generated, and the water is not colored. So you can see where the two streams come together, and if you followed the one on the left, you would come to a glacier. If you followed the stream on the right, you would come to an area where it's just melting snow that's producing the stream. Now, this is a picture taken during the dust storm days, the Dust Bowl of the 30s, out in Iowa and in Kansas and so on. And you can see that where that rock flower has been spread out over the surface of much of the Midwest, a wind, when it picks up, is capable of generating a lot of dust and dust storm that you can see here in the picture. Now, at the end of the glacier, there's a deposit of loose rock, and this is Teton Glacier. And you can see the rock ridge that's carried around the edge of the glacier itself. It's as it's moving down the valley and forming that ridge. At the end of a glacial valley is the glacial outwash, and here you see the effect of this as it's melting out, and the debris is being carried by water now instead of ice. An ice carried erratic, you know, glacial erratic is a rock like this, a big boulder, and you can see the scratches on it, was carried and left in an area where normally you would find only softer or finer materials, but often very large masses can be carried by the ice just as easily as a small piece. And here at Holden Village, you can see right along the garage a glacial deposit where there are big boulders and small, very fine material all mixed together, and no sorting of this as you see it. It simply moved down and carried to that position. Now let's look at the Tetons. Again, a mountain range that's beautifully sculptured by glaciers. Note that right to the right-hand side of the highest point in the picture, the Grand Teton is the Teton Glacier. And following down to the valley, you can see how it is scooped out and rounded out the gulch that lies below Teton Glacier down to Jackson Hole. This is Teton Glacier, and we're now right on the rock surface. And the very upper end of the glacier is showing here with the bergschrund up at the upper part of the picture, the big crack at the end of the ice. And here now is Teton Glacier, Grand Teton is on the left, Teton Glacier in the valley below, and the gulch that comes right down, and the trees at the bottom in the valley are where the material was deposited. And so that loose material forms a good place for the forest to accumulate enough moisture for trees to grow, and so on. At the very upper end of that valley, you'll find another glacially produced lake. This is a cirque lake, or tarn, and this is at the very head of the valley that was sculpturing these particular mountains. Now, if we look down from that point, you can see how the ice filled this whole canyon and then moved on down to the area down below. And when we come to the mouth of that canyon, you can see the lake that has been formed again. This is Jenny Lake. And where the dark area around the water exists, there are trees, and that's where the glacial moraine exists. That's where the ice stopped, and that forms the lake itself, the dam for it. Jackson Lake, likewise, was formed by a series of glaciers coming out of the mountains, as you see them here in the background. and forming Jackson Loop by a similar process then. Now we're up in the Canadian Rockies. We're looking down at a lake that's formed, being scooped out as the ice moved down the canyon. Here is another area in the Canadian Rockies, Glacier National Park, and the counterpart up in Canada. And here again, the lakes owe their origin to glaciations scooping out the valley itself. Lake Louise is a beautiful example of this. Here you can see the glaciers hanging on the valley walls up above, and the melted ice filling Lake Louise here in the foreground. Another view of Lake Louise and the glaciers up in the Canadian Rockies. Yosemite Valley in California is a beautiful example of a glacial valley again, with Half Dome on the right being simply cut off by the ice moving down the valley to the left. And again, looking along the Yosemite Valley, you can see the granite here has been deeply carved by the ice moving through and leaving these very precipitous walls on both sides. Yosemite Falls, you see, it comes out of one of those hanging valleys down into the bottom of the canyon itself, Yosemite Canyon. In Switzerland, again, the beautiful Swiss Alps and the glacial deposits that are forming and have carved these valleys, which you see in Switzerland. The bottoms tend to be rounded out and very green and lush with vegetation. But notice the steep walls on the side and the waterfalls coming in where the ice has oversteepened the canyon walls. This is a good example of that sort of thing. And of course, Switzerland owes much of its beauty to the glacial sculpturing of these particular mountains. The Matterhorn is a particularly well-known mountain because it has glaciers on all sides of it, pulling the rock away and simply leaving a very sharp horn of rock in the Swiss Alps. Going to Alaska, here's the Mendenhall Glacier, where we can study this action today and see what's transpiring. Here's the end of the glacier. You can see the blue ice where the crystalline ice is moving down and again coming from the high snow fields and ice fields that are way up at the head that are feeding down into that glacier. This is Portage Glacier in Alaska. Again, a similar feature of ice moving down from a high area. One of the beautiful scenes in Switzerland is this particular one where the Swiss or the Alps here, the Southern Alps, are shown in the reflection of that particular lake. The valley here is again one in New Zealand, where the ice has moved through. Another valley here in southern Norway, a fjord, very similar to New Zealand. And here at the northern part of Norway, up near Narvik, is another fjord, which is shown in this particular slide. And again, the fjord going from Narvik back into the high area. This is a glacial deposit showing the kind of material that accumulates around the importance of this in the Midwest, producing the Great Farm Belt. And here you see it as a road crop in Iowa. and the exposure of this kind of material. And here is a beautiful field of agricultural beans in this case. And in this case, a rolling area where this is raw glacial moraine and corn and beans, and every acre is a productive acre in this area. In the mountains, we see the effect here of the scooping out of the rock, the softer rock, leaving lakes. And one of the kinds of lakes that we have is like Lake Chelan, which has been scooped out to a great depth, almost 1,500 feet deep. And then the lower end dam that dams all in. And so Lake Chelan is one of the beautiful lakes of this particular area, or in the Holden Village area. And we see this from the dock here, looking up the valley to the upper end of the lake. Coming across from Denmark to Seattle, I crossed the Greenland ice cap. And as we approached that, we saw all the icebergs that you see here. And in a moment of looking out the window, you could see the glaciers coming off of the ice cap and down to the ocean, breaking off to form icebergs. Now, this is the way Holden area looked. Is maybe 200,000 years ago when the ice filled all these canyons. And so this is a good example of what it looked like in the past. And the final slide here is one of image lake, which again is a shallow scooped out lake with Glacier Peak in the background. And this concludes our series of slides of the effect of moving ice and the relationship of them to the creation of very important and ideal scenery that we view worldwide, particularly in the Northern Hemisphere, where we have a chance to see this. This is the concluding slide, and thank you very much for your attention. I'm Rudy Ugly, and this will be the end of this particular program. Thank you.